Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hey, everybody. It's Teresa at In the Open. And today we're going to talk about getting help without your family knowing. So this is not about struggling with what to do when I can't tell my family, because I think we did that in doing things on your own, which sucks because we probably agree that everything should be done with your family. But there are times when you're like, oh, my family did not listen and I know I need help. So now I need to go out and figure out how to get help, right?
Completely. And there's two veins, right? The emotional piece, which we're going to talk about, and then like the actual logistical piece, like what do you actually have to do? So let's talk a little bit about the emotional piece. Like, we know that it sucks. You said it. It sucks not to have the support of the people that you think are supposed to be supportive around you. But you have the capacity to help yourself. And you've made a big step towards acknowledging the fact that you want help. I think it's huge.
Yeah. There's a lot of emotional prep work while you're looking for help without other people supporting you in your life. And that is time to gather information. And then because it's inevitable that it kind of comes out. But I do think that when people are better armed with information, and that when all that comes up again, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you've been seeing a therapist, or oh my gosh, I can't believe you've been taking medications, that you're like, yes, and here are the facts, and I am not going to let what you put out.
Yeah. And this is why.
Yeah. Hurt me anymore, whatever. I'm just not going to take that on.
And I think you have to consider this idea of also, you know, how others may respond and why you're making the decision to not be able to share that. But, you know, we did talk about that in another podcast, but this idea is related to this aspect of you feeling comfortable enough to share whatever's happening with you with somebody who has the capacity to be able to help you through that.
Yeah.
Therapist, psychologist, XYZ.
So getting help alone and like and finding out information by yourself is scary if you're young, because sometimes you might not feel like you are allowed to ask questions.
Yeah.
But that's the beautiful thing about anonymity, is that you can call phone numbers and just say, without saying your name, I am blankety blank and how do I get assistance? If you've looked up research about your state and whether or not you're allowed to get therapy, let's start with the internet. That's probably the first source of getting help.
Getting help and getting information. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the internet can serve as a place where you can just gather your thoughts and ask questions in a safe space that enables you to figure out, wow, I maybe you don't even know what you're kind of looking for. And the feelings that others share with you or share online may validate what your experience is.
Yeah. And that's right. And even though I feel like we are scared that the internet can be a source for a lot of harm, like if people fall into traps or meet bullies or get bad advice or people who tell them to do bad things, it seems that there are a lot of good places where people are supportive. Do you think that's true? Like, people are more supportive than not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In many cases, in my experience, what I have found is that people go online, whether it's like finding forums and things like we have the Inspire community where people connect based on their experience. They go on there because they know that others may help them think through whatever's happening. It's like breadcrumbs, you know, to help you
break down a path.
Yeah.
Dabble, ask a question here or there, totally anonymous as you wrestle with stuff.
I think when somebody is kind of in this space where I can't tell other people for whatever reason, right? My parents don't want me to talk about the stuff that goes on at home, or my partner makes negative comments that makes me feel that I can't really share with them. Mm-hmm. Then I have gone online to just ask questions that I may be doubting about myself. Like, is it okay for me to feel this way?
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I think the validation piece comes in. But it's also important for people to understand, like, knowing that there are bad places online that are intended. They look really nice and pretty to grab your attention and keep you there. And the whole point is to give you bad info. It's important to think about it. This, the website that I'm looking at, something from a credible organization? Is it somebody that is just writing about their experiences? One person's blog does not mean that that experience is yours to own or in its entirety. You know, each one of us has very different worldviews and experiences and different factors that impact our well-being. So you just have to be cautious about it all.
Now, what if you're a young person and you actually want to go to therapy? That's a different kind of question, right?
Yeah. When you're young and you want to go to therapy and your family is not supportive, there are options, I think, out there that maybe you think are not the best, but they can function as door openers. So you have supports at school that could be useful, like a school counselor or a teacher that you think is, you know, somebody that you can trust.
But if you talk to those people, it may be likely that that person is going to say, thank you for telling us. Let's talk about how we're going to tell your parent. But that is good because that might be an adult ally who then is going to walk with you through this path to tell your parents that something else is going on.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that that person is going to maintain confidentiality per se.
Yes.
Right? Like,
yeah,
a school counselor could say, you know what, this is really important and I feel like we need to tell your parents. So they're going to tell you that. I do like that. I like going to school because the school is a safe space, especially if you know your school counselor. Or I was best friends with my vice president because I was suspended so many times that that person basically knew me and felt safe. So it wasn't my school counselor. It was like my vice president. But that person, yeah, they were like, well, we're going to have to tell your parents and bring them in. So that's not really getting, that is getting help at first without your parent, but eventually with your parent and maybe a pathway to your parents.
Maybe if it's not your parents, it's another family member that could be helpful.
Yeah. So you're talking about who to reach out. So there are definitely, so it's really hard because I think ultimately what we're saying is that you're going to have to let your family members know at some point that you're getting help, or they will find out.
Yeah.
If you're young, they will find out. Let's talk about warm lines because that's an option. I don't know that warm lines. So if you Google warm lines in your state or something, or even like the crisis text line is not meant for phone calls, right? That's for crisis, like if you're feeling suicidal. But there are these things called warm lines. And I think that they don't necessarily not let you talk just because you're not an adult, but they might be just a sounding board, a voice sounding board to figure out how to get help, how to talk to your family members about getting help, or exploring different ways of getting help or having somebody to talk to. Do you think that warm lines are an option for young people?
Yes, if the people that are running the warm lines are open to talking to young people. Because as a young person, you have to be mindful of the fact that your experience of going to like high school now is different from my experience when I was in high school 20 years ago. You know, I think that's a very key thing that has to be considered. So it's not like you can't, it wouldn't work. I'm not saying that it wouldn't work at all. What I'm saying is at the essence of what we're struggling with is me trying to find help. And the person on the other side of the warm line is somebody that's actually gone through that process. And they may help you navigate your thoughts to get you to a place of being able to have a conversation with people.
What about then the next one, which is the big one, which is, can I get treatment as a minor? So the term here is informed consent, which is for most states, it's true that if you are under 18, you cannot access therapy or medications or healthcare without your family knowing. But there are some states that have reduced the age for minor consent, especially in relation to therapy. So if you, depending on the state you live in, it is worthwhile to consider looking up the law, and the term here is informed consent for treatment, or therapy without parental consent. If you Google that and you find out, oh, I can actually go get therapy without my parental consent, then it probably means that you can call the number on your insurance card and access some kind of treatment. And I almost guarantee the first things that a therapist is going to do is they're going to talk to you about how to let your parents know.
Right. Because if I'm young, I probably don't have any money to actually pay for any services. And if I do have any money, I don't know that that will actually be able to cover the costs of therapy.
Yeah. So then outside of the first access, which probably, you know, you can get a phone call, you can get something where you're calling, you know, the therapist to see this process and start this process. Eventually your parents are probably going to know because yeah, they're going to pay for it. Thanks, America. That's so true. Yes, your parents will have to pay for it. Somebody's going to have to pay for it. So it does mean that you, if you really want therapy, look, technically you can get consent. You can start without your parents, but because of so many reasons, they're eventually going to know because the counselor is going to encourage you or help you figure out how to talk to them. And then your parents are going to have to pay for it.
So there are some ways that you can get help that do not involve like actual therapy. There are support groups and things like that that you can participate in without having to be an 18-year-old and above. For example, groups that are related to like depression and bipolar, there are youth-related groups that focus on that. Or there are groups that focus on codependency, right? Or Al-Anon. There are groups out there that exist that are specifically focused for youth, knowing that there are limitations to how readily you can go and get help, like professional help that you have to pay for. And those services that are peer services where you're talking to other people really do help maybe to get you to a place where you feel more comfortable in sharing whatever you are struggling with somebody who would be able to pay for services.
Yeah, this is actually especially true for LGBTQ youth. Mm-hmm. So I think that those are where laws are really protective. So if you're in an LGBTQ community, I would say we just started a collaboration with the LGBTQ centers. And if you do look on our website under what's called Q-Chat, those are groups of live groups, anonymous groups that are meant for young people. So they actually kick you out if you're too old, but it's specifically for getting support and getting help if you're from the LGBTQ community, which I love. Yeah. And depending on your state, you also may have certain protections because you identify as LGBTQ and you need supports. And in this case, you know, families, that's tricky.
Yeah. I think that's a whole separate podcast if we wanted to talk about those issues. But
at least from the law perspective, yeah. From accessing specific services, getting help without family members knowing yeah. There are special protections.
Yeah. So what have we talked about? We've talked about, one, going online and finding some information, getting some validation, right, and education, not only to help yourself, but to arm yourself with knowledge to help others down the line understand whatever you're struggling with. We also talked about the idea of finding local supports, whether that's through warm lines or forums online, which again goes back to the internet. But then the other piece is, you know, finding maybe local in-person support groups that could be a place where you can actually meet other people mm-hmm. and connect with other folks that are struggling. And then the last thing we kind of talked about is the fact that as a young person, as you kind of navigate your way down this road, if you are going to be seeking professional services, at some point your parents are going to have to be involved because of the costs associated with this and the logistical aspects of it. So we're not saying don't do it, but I think what we are saying and what we're advocating for is prepare yourself, work yourself up to get into a place where you can share, because most professionals in the field will work with you to help you get to that place.
All right. So this was, you know, less emotional, but answering an important logistical question. So thanks, everybody, and keep on fighting in the open.
Thanks, guys.